The same rail that lifts a poor family out of poverty can be tuned to strip them bare. Same machine, opposite direction. So, which one did we build? We found what spins. Assets the poor own. But every one of those engines has a dark twin. The unlock that compounds wealth into their hands can be wired to pump it right back out, and often is. This is the episode where the flywheel runs in reverse. Start with the grandest version. There's a development model the scholar Daniela Gabor calls the Wall Street Consensus. The pitch sounds generous. Use public money to de-risk investment so private capital flows to the poor world. But look at the wiring. The state guarantees the returns and absorbs the losses. The investors keep the gains. Risk goes onto the public's books. Profit comes off it. The poor become, in effect, a new asset class to be harvested. Its defenders have a fair point. There's vastly more private money than aid, and de-risking does move some of it. But its own numbers give it away. Every dollar of public money pulls in less than 75 cents of private capital in developing countries, and in the poorest countries, just 37 cents. The pump works weakest exactly where the poverty runs deepest. Now, natural wealth. Sell a poor region's forest as carbon credits. Turn standing trees into tradable money. In 2023, investigators audited the leading rainforest credits. More than 90% were likely phantom, no real carbon saved. The threat to the forests had been overstated by around 400%. A fortune in credits sold to the world, almost nothing delivered to the climate. And the people who live there? Take Zimbabwe's Kariba project. 750,000 hectares leased for carbon. Communities say they were locked out of ancestral forests and rivers in the name of conservation, while the schools and clinics they were promised never arrived. The forest's wealth was unlocked. It just flowed past them and out. Even the rails turn predatory. Digital loan apps across Kenya, India, the Philippines demand access to your contacts, then shame you to every one of them the moment you're late. Indian apps were caught charging up to 60% interest a week. Financial inclusion turned inside out. Your own phone, your own friendships made into the lever that breaks you. So is the asset itself just cursed? No. Compare two countries. Botswana found diamonds and saved and invested the proceeds under an accountable government, growing faster per person than almost any nation on earth for 30 years. Nigeria found oil, and the money vanished into opacity and bust. Same kind of windfall, opposite outcome. The difference wasn't the wealth, it was who governed it. And there's the hinge of this whole series. The flywheel and the pump run on the same axle, the unlock. What flips the direction isn't the asset, it's who owns it, who governs it, and who keeps the surplus. Put the unlock in the hands of the people who hold the wealth, and it compounds toward them. Hand it to outsiders, and the very same mechanism drains them, efficiently, at scale, in the language of help. So we can't just ask whether to unlock the fortune. We've known since the start that it's there. The real question, the one this whole series has been circling, is sharper than that. When the wealth finally thaws, who is standing at the outlet?